Today on the podcast is Kia Smith, the founder and executive artistic director of Chicago Dance Theater and daughter of Southside jazz legend Jimmy Ellis. In 2019, Kia launched SCDT's Education and Community Program at South Shore Fine Arts Academy to instruct students in both dance and theater, and the program has continued to grow.
Save the date, May 20th, for an evening with the South Chicago Dance Theater, celebrating 5 years featuring 5 world premieres by 5 dynamic choreographers.
Ron De Jesus, Stephanie Martinez, Crystal Michelle Perkins, Wei Schaff, and Kia Smith at the Terrace Theater in Chicago.
Thank you so much for squeezing us in your busy
day. No, it's so cool.
I truly appreciate that because I know how busy you are. And I'm so excited to hear about what's coming up in May. And before we get into that, we'll have to keep people hanging so they listen to the end. Tell us about you. I know you have a long history in the jazz community, which started when you were a real little girl, just being taken to places. So tell us about that.
So, my dad, he passed away this past summer, but he was a jazz musician, a saxophonist. And so, and also my mom was not a musician, but she was like a jazz enthusiast, and she worked at the Jazz Showcase for a lot of my life, which is a kind of like a legendary Chicago space for, they bring musicians in from all over the world to play there. And so I grew up between the two of them, just like hearing a lot of jazz, going to see jazz. Like when I was little, I would meet really kind of like big name jazz musicians, but like not really know, because I was like, oh, this, just this person that I just met. I kind of grew up in the jazz scene. And that's kind of what got me into dancing. Like I just love music and moving to it.
And, you know, and another little bit of your history, which I've read, it's very limited to me. I'm sure there's so many more stories and anecdotes you can share with us. But just knowing that you were at school one day and a theater or dance company came, and that really piqued your interest. Who was that? Who came and what were they talking about? And what got you so excited?
Oh, and you must be talking about high school. Yeah. So wow. that's so long ago. It feels like, I didn't grow up dancing in a formal way, like training. But when I was in high school, I was in like a drama program, and the Joel Hall dancers, came to my school to do like an outreach, program with us. And, I remember the teacher so well, his name was Dwayne Pendarvis. He was the instructor for the program. And he just kind of took an interest in me and could tell that I loved moving and like, you know, didn't have maybe like the technique, but like just enjoyed moving and was really dedicated to it. And so he invited me to come audition for a scholarship. And so I ended up like my first kind of like dance training experience was being on scholarship at the Joel Hall Dancers and Center, and they're a jazz company. So I guess jazz is just like, I don't know. It's just like,
it follows you.
Yeah.
He must have seen that in you. It's really cool because I know that when they introduced you to that forum, you saw that there was a, you know, diversity in the participants, in the people doing that. Tell me how that affected even more, like your decision to just jump right into this.
Yeah. Well, actually the diversity part didn't come from dancing. It actually came from being a part of a program called, it used to be called Music Theater Workshop. And now it's called Story Catcher Theater. And it's a lot different of a program than it was when I was a part of it. But they brought students from all over the city of Chicago, north, south, east, and west, of all different races and ethnicities. And they purposely curated it that way, but we would write plays together and then perform them at the Field Museum. And I had only lived on the city south side and had only been around people that looked like me. So being part of this program kind of opened my eyes. And it was special because it, even though we were all so different, it didn't feel like we were different when we worked together. And that was when I was really young, like 12. And that has always stayed with me. And that's kind of what made me, I don't know, I guess just see the world in a different way and want to live and do my art in a way that's inclusive to all kinds of people.
And you know, it's funny because people try to act like that's new, like that's something now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that, you know, there are people talking about like how long this has been, you know, at least attempted to be done. And maybe we're just not highlighting it enough. We're not talking about it.
Yeah.
And there is diversity, and there's also a common, you know, love for art and music and dance and new ways of seeing the dance. Which brings me to like your creation of dance moves with opera and how you want to really like blur that line between, you know, is this a dance move? Is this part of the opera? Tell me about how that process works for you.
Yeah. So that's actually a project that I am just starting. I'm a lab artist with Chicago Dance Makers Forum this year. And essentially that means I'm getting just like funded support to do research over the course of a year. And I want to codify my own form and call it the dance opera that kind of fuses movement and live music and projection design and scenic design and theater kind of just into all one form where dance is still the primary like at the forefront is the dancing, but all these other elements are kind of seamlessly interwoven into it. And so it kind of goes back to jazz because the dance opera that I'm researching to create right now is called Memoirs of Jazz in the Alley. It's actually about my dad and jazz in the alley. He would say that he didn't start it. A man named Arthur Pop Simpson actually started it, and he would like play albums and have DJs come out to the alley in 49th and Champlain on the South Side every Sunday. And what my dad did was he brought the live music to it. So he would play his saxophone and then he would invite musicians to come. And before you knew it, it was this happening every Sunday where all these live musicians would just jam and people would come, like all different backgrounds would all come together and kind of just party in the alley on 49th and Champlain. And so I just was really inspired by that. And just the idea of that and the ethos of it and the people that came through it and just the life of it. And so I'm actually making a show around that that will premiere in June 2023. So it's a lot of jazz, a lot of dancing. The music is going to be live. Isaiah Collier, I don't know if you know him. He's a musician and composer. He has his own band, Isaiah Collier and the Chosen Few, and they're going to be playing. He's composing the music, and his band is going to play it live. So,
wow! So that's in the works right now, as you're doing so many other things in the meantime.
Yeah, and also like getting ready for the Harris Theater. That's the next kind of like big thing that we're getting ready for.
And you know, before we move on from Jazz in the Alley, I just want to tell you that really popped out at me when I was reading about you, because I used to do something called Art in the Alley back in Detroit,
like years ago.
And it was just, we started a project with like cleaning up the alleys because these alleys were impassable. They weren't real alleys. And we started a cleaning project, and we thought how nice it would be to gather people to paint over this graffiti in these garage doors. And pretty soon we were coming up with designs to put on them and getting permission slips done. And it was the same kind of atmosphere where people would gather, except it wasn't saxophones. It was paintbrushes and kids connecting with community organizations and talking about college and talking about things outside of their community. And I love that your dad did that and you became a part of that. And as I was seeing some of the photos in your collection, it's just so sweet. It's just so beautiful to see that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that's really awesome. And now tell me about this organization that you run. Let's go on to what you're doing. I mean, you have a lot of things going on. tell me about running that.
Yeah. So South Chicago Dance Theater is a company that I founded and that I'm executive artistic director and resident choreographer of. And I didn't like purposely try to do something like what my dad was doing by any means, but after I started my company and I kind of like looked at what my dad had done with music, with like building community with music, I kind of realized, and like even having Jazz in the Alley, like I have my own festival I run. I was like, oh, this is kind of creepy. Like I'm doing like a lot of the same things, but with dance. So I started South Chicago Dance Theater in 2017. So we're in our fifth anniversary season right now. And it's a multiracial and in a lot of ways, multicultural organization because we do a lot of work internationally with other artists and other countries. And we're a traditional repertory company in the sense that I commission choreographers to come and make work for the company and you tour and perform that work. But I also make even length works on the company as well. And we have a lot of different, I guess, kind of umbrellas underneath the organization of what we do. So the main company and emerging artist program is the center of the community of what we do. We also have education and community programs. We're in 11 different schools right now, CPS and Berwyn North School District as well. That's kind of like a really big part of just working with the students. We do a lot of work with students. And we have South Chicago Dance Festival, which happens every year and curate artists and companies, classes, panel discussions, kind of all kinds of different things that we do with the festival. We have a program called our Choreographic Diplomacy Program. And so we actually just returned from the Netherlands last week and we performed with our Korean arts partner in the Netherlands. We did a show and taught some classes. And we're really about just empowering contemporary voices and dance and also honoring the legacy of concert dance that we come from as well.
You know, it sounds like you might have started this, the South Chicago Dance Theater company, like with one vision in mind, and it has just like reproduced in so many other areas. Did you find that surprising? I mean, I'm sure pleasantly surprised, but did you have any idea in the short amount of time that it was going to grow like this?
So this is going to sound silly, but even though I didn't start dancing until I was like 16, I wanted to have a dance company since I was like five. Like I'm not like I used to watch dance on PBS and, you know, I would always try to find ways to be around dance. And so I always knew I would have a dance company, but these other parts of it I've just kind of discovered along the way. Like I knew I wanted the company to do international work and I was like, okay, well, we were a young company, so we're not quite ready to like have a reel to be able to be booked internationally. But so then how can we do international work? And so I just reached out to, I did a lot of outreach, but ended up landing at an artist in South Korea that I wanted to collaborate with. And so he and I and our company have been going back and forth together the last 4 years, like creating work together and performing in each other's communities. And we just did this thing in the Netherlands. So like each thing is kind of formed. I don't know. Like, it's like, I have an idea and then I just kind of run with it because I get excited, I guess. So
it blossoms. Yeah. It totally blossoms. Yeah. It feels like it's coming from a place of love and, you know, gratitude. So that tends to grow on its own when you have that attitude. I could tell by your smile.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
So, you know, I just like to really encourage people a lot, you know, especially if they get a chance to listen to my conversations with people that I talk to and really give people hope that, you know, it sounds really like an empty phrase when people say, if you dream about it, you can have it. But it really, it's about reaching out and maybe putting aside the fear and saying, hey, let me make this phone call. Let me send this email. You know, the worst you can say is no.
Yeah.
Many times people are waiting to collaborate too. And then maybe they haven't thought of, you know, that idea or that part of the world as well, that part of the city. So best of all, it's like, you know, put your fear aside and put your passion up front. What do you say?
I agree. I honestly, in the last couple of years, have done a lot of things scared, but just did them anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like I feel like we all have like great ideas inside of us. And like you said, just have to like put the fear and like the doubt aside and just do it. Yeah.
And you know what's exciting? When I heard you say, you know, codify this new dance movement. So basically creating a genre. Is that what you
mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wanting to do. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, because it's like songwriting. You think, all the songs have been written. What can I, you know, what kind of new melody can I come up with? But same with dance. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think everyone, at least for me, having a company, it's like, well, what is it about my company that will make it distinguished amongst other companies? In the city alone, there's hundreds of dance companies, and like there's so much. And so it's like, okay, what about what I'm doing can be different from what's out there and still be true to what I'm interested in? And so that's why I wanted to do the dance opera.
So what about the dance company and the work that you're doing? Can you tell us about maybe history of Chicago? I know the jazz part, that's really cool. But any other part that maybe some of us or other people have experienced, that they say, wow, I see that now. I see it in this dance. I see it in this piece. Anything like that you can share with us?
Well, I think just thinking about history, I'm really interested in history. I love studying. It's like in school, something I love to study. And something I found out maybe 10 years ago was that my great grandmother came to Chicago during the Great Migration from Memphis. And when she came here, she only brought with her a really big suitcase. And she actually hand wrote literally hundreds of prayers. Like she just hand wrote them. And that's what she brought with her in the suitcase. And so when she moved here, she lived in South Chicago. And I think that was in the 1950s. And so my family has just been in the South Chicago area for so long. And so that's why I felt like I want my company to be called something with South Chicago.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because yes, you're right. You want that search to come up when people are looking for, you know, dance companies. It's great to see that that comes up in a search.
Yeah, right? I think so. I mean, someone like the first year, someone told me I should change the name because they were like, well, you know, the South Side has all this, you know, bad reputation. And if you go places, people might think something negative about your company. And I was like, no, I'm keeping the name.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point. Yeah, exactly.
What do you find the most when you go and do this outreach like at different schools with CPS? What do you find most like from students? Like, what is their attitude?
Yeah, honestly, it just differs from school to school. You know, like we're in some schools we go to, the kids are like, so we offer both dance and drama programs. And so some schools we go to, the kids are like so excited, like they've been waiting to have a dance class. Like, you know, they're really, really thrilled to be a part of it. And then some schools you go and like the students really don't want to be in your program, but like maybe the school has just said, well, this is the class you're taking, you know, at this time of the day. And so you just kind of have to make it work. Yeah. And I think what we found with the programs is that, you know, the most important thing really isn't the form. It's not about teaching dance or teaching drama, but just like connecting with the students and building community with the students and like knowing who they are and having them know who we are. Something we've done every year for the last, 4 years or three, the last 3 years, something we've done is a Black History Month performance series. So we go to, like this year, we went to about 10 or 11 schools this year in person and performed our Black History Month show for them. And they love it. I mean, they really enjoy getting to see, I think also because of COVID, they hadn't seen anything live in so long. Yes. So that probably also is why they loved it. But they love like just being able to see people that look like them doing something that is, you know, energetic and exciting and fun and also talking about history that matters to them. So it's like, it's, being in the schools has given us a chance, one, for the artists to have the opportunity to, you know, I guess, be a part of the community in a better, a deeper way. And for the students where we teach these classes at to see, oh, well, this company doesn't just teach, but they also do this professionally. And like, maybe this is something I can do one day.
Right. And there's so many roles in a company that it's not just on stage, it's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's the PR work. It's, you know, so many facets of it.
Yeah, there's so many. And I think that that's something that I want more children of color, and not even just children, but like college students to know that that's an area that they can work and have a career in, because there aren't a lot of arts administrators of color
exactly.
working in the field, and there need to be more because there's so many artists of color who, you know, need people that kind of understand what they need or what they're trying to do or who can relate to their community.
Or simply just someone who will not shut it down just because of what it looks like.
Which exactly.
Unfortunately, we get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure Black History Month is a busy time for you because you're going to visit schools. But I've always thought we should spread it out through the whole school year. There's a holiday every month.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to 10 schools in 1 month, maybe you go to one school a month. But it's
right.
being part of the culture. Not just one
exactly.
month, a year. That's just
exactly.
my thought.
No, I definitely, well, you know, it's funny because after one school we went to, as soon as the show finished, the principal said, okay, next month is Women's History Month. We want to have you guys back. And she was serious. She was like, I'll send me the invoice today. And I was like, wait, okay. Like, actually we can't come back next month because we're really busy this year. We've had a lot of amazing opportunities. We were out of the country when she
right.
had been at that school. But all of those schools though, that we went to all got complimentary tickets to our Harris Theater show.
So
they're all going to be coming to our student matinee on May 20th. So they'll get to kind of engage with us again.
And that's such a great segue to talk about what's coming up May 20th. So we'll probably see a lot of those students there, but what will we see on stage? Describe that to us without giving it away, of course.
Yeah. I'm so excited about this show, like probably more excited than I have been about any show we've had in the past, because it's the first time we're having a repertory concert live. We had one last year, but it was virtual because of COVID.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time that I'm commissioning choreographers and we're presenting this work on stage. And the diversity is so important to me as an artist. And so I try to program as diverse as possible program. So the show will have a choreographer named Wade Schaff. Wade is a contemporary and ballet choreographer for Chicago Repertory Ballet. And so there's a work by Wade on the show. There's a work by Stephanie Martinez, and she is like really making big waves in Chicago and really nationally. She was one of Dance Magazine's 25 to Watch, which is really big for the dance community. And so she has a piece on the show. Let's see, Ron DeJesus, who is kind of a powerhouse Chicago name for choreography, made our closer. So we have a big finale by Ron. I have a duet on the show that's going to be a little bit different from any of the work that I've presented in the last couple of years that I'm excited about. It has kind of some theatrical elements to it. And then Crystal Michelle Perkins, who was a mentor of mine when I was dancing at Dayton Contemporary Dance Company. She's restaging a work that she made virtually last year for this show. And so she also, the company nominated her for a Princess Grace USA Award last year. And so she received it. And so that was really exciting for us. So we're having her back to restage her work. And the pieces are like contemporary and ballet and jazz. And I would say Crystal's work, it's kind of hard to describe the style. And I feel like she might pinch me because I'm like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. But when I look at it just with my eyes, it feels very much like Afro-modern or Afro-contemporary or something like that. It's really exciting, explosive movement. I'm thrilled that we get to present this program. And we're a resident company at the Harris Theater now.
Great. Congratulations.
So, thank you. Yeah. I mean, we're very committed to being on the South Side and doing our work and presenting work on the city South Side. But I also wanted to expand our audience. And I felt like doing this fifth anniversary celebration at the Harris Theater would help us not only engage our community that's been coming to see us, but reach more people in different parts of the city as well.
You know, when you were talking about who's performing and what it will look like, I'm thinking, that's right. When do you practice? You have so much going on.
Yeah.
So, like, you're also part of the show, so you have to get your rehearsals in.
I'm not in the show.
Oh, okay.
I'm the artistic director of the show. So the dancers rehearse 4 days a week. We work Tuesdays through Fridays, and we're in residence at Hyde Park School of Dance. So choreographers set the pieces on the company dancers.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, you are just, but still, you are an amazing woman of many, many talents, and that's really exciting. So we have the May 20th show to look forward to at the Harris Theater, and then you're working on the 2023 show about Jazz in the Alley.
Yes.
Anything else? I mean, like I want to add something else to you. What else do you have looking forward to? What's in the horizon for you? Or maybe you don't want to give away any secrets right now.
Let's see. Yeah. So I mean, the fifth anniversary season show at the Harris is big. And I actually want to put one plugger out there for any of your listeners that would like to come to our show. I would like to offer them a promo code. They can use promo code friends and family 5. And that will get them discounted tickets to the show. So just in case anyone wants to attend. But after that, I think our next international thing we have, we're actually performing in South America, in Colombia, in November. And that's going to be with our, there's an anniversary between Seoul, Korea, and Colombia, South America, some kind of diplomatic anniversary. And so the piece that we made with our Korean arts partner, we're performing it all of us together in honor of this this celebration between the two countries. So that's exciting. We're doing that. That's coming up. I feel like there's so much.
That is big. That's major. That's in November. So
yeah.
That coming up in November. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so... You know, thank you for the code. I'm gonna make sure to spread that friends and family 5.
Yeah, friends and family 5. And if they put that, if they go to our link to purchase tickets on either our website or the Harris Theater website, they can get the link to buy tickets. And they ask for the promo code, and they can put that in, and it gets them a really nice discount in all of the zones.
Great, great. So you spoke about a school in North Berwyn, and I think offline, I'm going to have to communicate with you. I'm a director on the board of an organization called Youth Crossroads, and we're in Berwyn. It's an organization that provides free at school and personal counseling at no charge and other resources to students in the area. Cicero Berwyn.
Amazing.
So we're always looking for ways.
Yeah, I'm going to have to connect to you because we do, we're in Berwyn North School District in 4 different schools, and we do after-school programs and also summer programs for dance, drama, actually do cheer. We do a lot of different
nice cheer
stuff with them, but yeah. But I can definitely connect you with the person who's in charge of that partnership we have.
Definitely. We have a space that's for use for, you know, by organizations to come and present and show what they're doing and inspire the students. So we'll definitely be in touch about that. I'm really excited to have met you.
Awesome.
And I'm hoping to see you in person.
Awesome. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. God bless you.
And, God bless you.
Be careful out there and, you know,
Give
it all you got, like you always do.
Okay. All right.